13 and 14.
And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. I wish tonight to reach into the 13th verse where it said he came to it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. My text tonight. Nothing but leave. Let us pray. Brother Smith, pray for us.
Father, receive the word of God. Bless it on the lips of the preacher, we pray. Let the hearts of the people of God hear. Receive the word of God. Fall upon good ground. Bring forth 100-fold.
You may be seated. I am concerned tonight, as your evangelist, that you are saved. But I am also concerned that we possess the fruit, the attributes, the manifold spiritual blessings that come from a Christian life that are all pleasing to God. I trust tonight that you are not gathering just leaves to present to the Lord. Leaves are beautiful. They serve a purpose. But you cannot have an orchard with nothing but leaves. God desires fruit. God desires some sort of recompense for what he has blessed us with. He's given to us this teaching many times. That the talent, the abilities, the wherewith that he has endowed us all individually and collectively with, we are not to go hide in the ground, but we are to put them out and work for God and gain more talent and more things for the Lord. We cannot be content with simply gathering baskets of leaves and bringing them to the Master. What do you have tonight? What are we offering tonight? What is God looking for from us tonight? If he visited your house, if he walked down the corridor of your soul, if he followed you around for an average Christian day of living, what would he find you and me involved in? Leaves or trying our best to bring forth Christian fruit? Let me tell you, in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This means to trim it or to prune it. Let me tell you, the husbandman tonight has the right to prune the church of the living God, to chastise us, to dig about us, to fertilize us, to water us, and to see if we will not bring forth fruit. God is not pleased with just beautiful foliage. The outward adornment of Christian apparel is certainly part of Christian living. But God also wants more than just ornamentation. We must possess the fruit to please the living God of heaven. And if we don't bear fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now Jesus said in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Your hope is in the church. Let me tell you, I'd rather would have been with Noah and all the stink in the ark than drowning in the flood. And the earth, the church with all of its stench and all of its trouble, I'd still rather be in the church tonight than out in the world. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I wonder if God was to come to harvest under my tree, if God was to walk into my orchard, if God was to come to my vineyard, if God was to pay my place of toil a visit, if God was to come to my life and he would say, I've come after fruit, I've come to receive something for what I have done for you, would he have to collect nothing but leaves? Just leaves. Baskets and baskets of nothing but leaves. I want God to so deal with my heart that I will bring forth fruit that will be pleasing in his sight. Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord.
For without me ye can do nothing. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Then in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I'm going to make a startling statement to some of you tonight. It may be tantamount to heresy even. God is not so much glorified by our speaking in other tongues. That edifies us. God is not so much glorified when we are baptized in Jesus' name. That is done for our benefit, that we might be saved. But rather, God is glorified when he comes to us and we bring forth much fruit. That is how we can glorify the God of heaven. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Psalms 1 gave the remedy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Nothing but leaves. They may be beautiful to behold, but there is no fruit therein. Dear God, examine my heart tonight, that I might be a fruit-bearing Christian, that I might produce evidence of the Spirit of God in my life. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, primarily I will be preaching from this chapter. Apostle Paul reminded the church at Corinth, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Oftentimes we Christians dress the part and look the part, and people behold us and say, surely there is a Pentecostal. But down in our heart, we're not really spiritual. Our minds are on carnal things, and every day all we can think about is an insane scramble for wealth and prestige and influence and money and material possessions. And the wheels of our minds hum constantly with the hum of commerce. And all we can think about is how we can get ahead of this one or ahead of that one. Paul was speaking to this church at Corinth, and he said, brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. even as unto babes in Christ. A tree that brings only leaves, year after year, season after season. My friend, that should bring forth fruit, there's something wrong with it. If you are not producing the fruit of the Spirit, there's something wrong in your life. If you are not pleasing God with fruit tonight, you are not where you ought to be with the Lord. Your growth has been stunted. You're a spiritual dwarf. You are backward, and you're in the spiritual dark ages. You are a spiritual Rip Van Winkle. Your spirituality has been retarded. You, my friend, are a spiritual demoniac. You are spiritually demented. You, my friend, have not what it takes. I challenge you tonight to let God dig about you and prune you and fertilize you so that you and I might bring forth fruit. It's a pitiful thing when God can't talk to me as under spiritual, but as under carnal. Some people's eyes sparkle when you talk about cars. Others when you talk about money. Others when you talk about houses and land. Others when you talk about furniture. Others when you talk about their children. Others when they talk about their job. They have the humdrumness and the drabness when you talk to them about spiritual matters. You want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and they say ho-hum. You want to talk to them about prayer and fasting and Bible reading and conscientious, dedicated, unselfish devotion to the work of God, and they fall asleep on you. There is something startling wrong with us. Are we still babes in Christ? Are we still in spiritual swaddling clothes? Are we still wearing diapers? Are we still taking the bottle? Are we still going on pacifiers? My God, it's time we brought forth some fruit. Nothing but leaves. Nothing but leaves. Nothing but leaves. God will not bless a church with a spiritual revival that has on its altar nothing but leaves. God will not bless you with an apostolic outpouring if all we can bring night after night, day after day, revival after revival is leaves, 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 leaves. Well, that's what Paul was telling the church at Corinth. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as under spiritual, but as under carnal, even as under babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now you're able. Some people judge the spirituality of a church simply how high they jump. I judge it rather on how straight they run when they hit the ground. Some people judge an individual on their dreams and their visions, and even their speaking in other tongues only. I believe in speaking in other tongues. But I want more than leaves. I want you and I to bring forth fruit. I fed you with milk. Must we be spoon-fed milk every time we come to church? Does the pastor or the evangelist have to give us the bottle and with the nipple to suck on during service? Is all we can have is milk? Do we become perhaps a little bit timid, or maybe even just a little bit sarcastic if there's some strong meat dished out? I say this with all love tonight. You can't preach the Word of God too hard for me as long as you're staying the Bible. I'm going to fire this thing up yet. You watch it. You cannot preach it too straight as long as you stay in the book. I'll be the first to say, I've got my shoe shine all messed up. I've got my ears boxed and my face slapped. I've been taken to the spiritual woodshed and the spiritual hickory applied on me. I have been chastised. I have been beaten by the Word of God. I'll be the first to say it. I've been preached at, around, under, on, kicked about by the Holy Word of God. But I always came back for more, because I knew that if I could come long enough, God would see to it I could have more than just leaves. I would present God with some fruit, some fruit, some fruit. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Now, are you able to take the Word of God? I have preached in places
where they ran up the Milky White Way with me and we hung our coats on a star in Acts chapter 2. Brother, we traversed the constellations and worlds unknown and shouted for joy in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Oh, we have leaped for joy out of Psalms 150, 49, and 148, Psalms 103. Oh, we have jumped up and down and had a wonderful blessing out of Acts chapters 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. But say, you begin to preach Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3, the sermon to the message to the seven churches of Asia. You begin to preach Matthew chapter 23, the sermon that Jesus gave a stinging rebuke to the hypocrite, and they couldn't take it. As long as it was milk, it was all right, but no meat, preacher, no meat. I'll agree, a baby shouldn't be given meat, but we're not supposed to stay babies all of our lives. Is your spiritual growth stunted to that you're a baby? Still, after 20 years of having the Holy Ghost, you still got a pacifier. Nothing but leaves. I want to grow in the Lord, don't you? For you are yet carnal. God saved me from my carnality. I didn't say God saved me from your carnality. It isn't your carnality. It worries me. It's my carnality. That I look at in the mirror every morning is the one that gives me trouble. You don't give me no trouble. You're not big enough to give me any trouble. Here's the guy that gives me the trouble. My carnality. My desires, my ambition, my pride, my selfishness. Me! My God, it's a sign of maturity when we quit blaming other people for our troubles and start looking introspectively in our own hearts for the cause of our troubles. It's a sign of spiritual maturity when we quit blaming the world for the reason we don't have the revival that we don't have. Listen, there's not enough devils out there to stop an apostolic revival. But there has to be some fire on the altar. And there has to be some fruit meat brought to God. We can't shout in here like angels at night, live like the devil during the daytime, and fight with our wife, and fight with our husband, and fight with our children, and fight with our in-laws, and fight with our boss, and fight with our neighbors, and almost on the verge of cursing and swearing. I know I'm a preaching hard tonight, but it's the truth. We can't go out there and indulge in every whim of the flesh and expect to tippy toe in here on the clouds of glory and God to crown us with many hallelujahs. Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? We don't change our ways. Some of us are going to have a time getting over yonder. I'm telling you the truth. I'm your friend. I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. It kills you and me both. There's too much carnality. And then but one way, you got to crucify it. And it dies hard. But you can do it. You can do it. Ye are yet carnal. But whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? I apologize to our visitors. We don't like to hang dirty linen out for the public to hear and see. But I will say this. I don't want you to have a mirage look at the real truth. I don't want you to just have some sort of fantasy built up in your mind. Too many times when people come into Pentecost, they think it's all mountaintops, all roses with no thorns, all days with no nights, all warmth with no coldness. All ups with no downs. I'm here to tell you there's plenty of downers and valleys and trouble and dungeons of despair that God cries His church with. And it's down in the valley we find the worth of our character. Someone says, if you want to know what a man or woman really is, find out what they are when they're in the dark, where no one can see them, no one knows what they're doing. My God, help me to be the same wherever I go.
Paul said,
you have envy, strife, and divisions among you. The church had a schism, a division, had cliques. Some people call them cliques. I call them cliques. Some say cricks. I say creeps myself. Get a crick in your neck. But God is not pleased for one little group in the church to get together against another group and talk about it. For one other group only hobnob socially and economically and physically and spiritually and leave the others go. I say when we walk through those doors, we're all on common ground. We're all together. None is better than anyone else. This big I and little you doesn't belong in the church. God doesn't have any spiritual upper crust. And I'm sick to my stomach of it. I cross the country and I see it everywhere I go. This spiritual upper crust. That God has some spiritual upper echelon that is a little bit better than the rest of us hoi polloi. That the rest of us common clodhoppers kind of grovel at their feet. Let me tell you, you had to be washed in the same blood that I had to be washed in. You had to be baptized the same way I had to be baptized, and you had to receive the Holy Ghost the same way I had to receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I say it's time for us to understand what affects one part of the church affects all the church. Hallelujah. You can't divorce yourself from the spirituality of this church if you're a member of it. If it's in trouble, if it is sick, you're sick and you're in trouble too. We need to be concerned. Now Paul said there's envying and strife and divisions among you. Hallelujah. So while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? This particular church had preacher religion. And that stinks to high heaven. Any preacher that would even attempt to foster a cult around his personality is demented in his thinking. I don't care who it is. The church is not built on a man. It's built on Jesus Christ. And I say it's time that some of us pull a disappearing act so Jesus can be seen.
Wow, wow, wow. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Let me tell you, I say it's time we hid behind the cross and let the world see Jesus. Oh, my God, I'm nothing. You're nothing. My God, it's the Lord that's everything tonight. Hallelujah. They had preacher religion. Trouble with preacher religion, as long as the preacher does all right, you'll do all right. But you let him fall, slip, or make a mistake, or backslide, and that's the way you'll go. Whereas if your eyes are on Jesus, no matter who comes and who goes, who backslides and who doesn't, brother, you're going to press right on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyhow. While one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And some of us preachers don't like this, but it's the truth. Pastors, evangelists, big, little, hear it. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We have seen in other religious cults that have been built around a man. When the man dies, the influence of the cult generally, eventually, wanes away. This church cannot be built on the cult of any one man's personality. It needs to be built on Jesus Christ and Him only. I'm staying right in the Word of God. You can't say a thing about me. Hallelujah. It's in the Bible. Sometimes we love to think we're something. Oh, my, we're something. And with studied arrogance, we peer down our long noses at those that are not quite so fortunate. And we rear back and walk with the presumptuous step of a perfectionist. My, look at me, what I have done. We have become strutting Nebuchadnezzars walking on our overhanging balconies of self-accomplishment and self-aggrandizement. And we've said, look what I've done. Look at this Babylon that I've built. Well, bless God, there wasn't a church when I came to this town. It was me. Hallelujah. Look what I did.
Oh, God, that stinks to high heaven. Not a one of us could ever slay a Goliath. Not a one of us could ever walk through a Red Sea. Not a one of us could ever go through a Jordan. Not a one of us could ever go through a lion's den unscathed or a fiery furnace without a hair of our head singed. Will it not through the ever presence of the Spirit of God? Let's give the credit where it belongs. It belongs to Jesus Christ. This church is here today because of Jesus Christ, because of Calvary, because of Calvary. That's the truth. You can pay me off and ship me out tonight, and I'll tell it to you as I leave the city limits. This is God's church, and He's the one that built it. I know you love the truth. I know that. But I don't want nothing but leaves. I don't want monuments built to my personality. I don't want edifices erected to my remembrance. Oh, God, no. If you're going to elevate anything, elevate Jesus. Elevate the cross. Exalt the blood. Worship the name. Oh, God, give us that kind of a spirit tonight. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Everyone shall receive his own reward according to their own labor. Look at this. You that are not involved in this revival, and even in this church, that are sitting back on these benches of ease, look at this. We are laborers together with God. No preacher can go it alone. We can't have revival just me. We got to work together. Together praying, together fasting, together bombarding heaven with our personal supplications and requests for revival. Together, we're laborers. Together, I see a tremendous need for a baptism of togetherness. We are not a bunch of loose ends running around, individuals. We are in this together. If this thing goes down, we're going down together. Hallelujah. But if it's going up, hallelujah, we're going to go up together too. And God help us quit being babies about it. My God, it's time to grow up. Bring a little fruit. Quit throwing all them beautiful leaves around. I want some fruit. Yes, you look pretty. You look the part of a Pentecost. Your hair is not cut, ladies. Your dresses are modest. You men, your hair is cut like it ought to be. It's not running down your back like a pony's tail. You're not running around here with the fad and fashion of this world, looking like something just come right out of the beauty shop. Nowadays, you know, used to be people shouted their hair down. Nowadays, they not only shout it down, but Lord, shout it off. And as even some of us men, if we don't watch, our hair would break if we didn't watch, you know. Brother, we got the plaster of Paris look. Now, I'm not harpooning any cleanliness. But there's something more to this than a clothes horse and a showcase. There's just got to be something more to this church than socializing and meat and drink and outing. Come on, folks. There's got to be something more to it. If all that's bringing you here is a social program, you're not going to make it anyhow. You've got to have a deeper tie than that. Quit being a baby. Some people are such babies, the preacher preaches a sermon to them. He's got to give them milk, 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 milk. I just am tired of labeling out milk, 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 milk. And when they go out the door, you got to shake their hand, every one, or they're going to get
the feelings hurt, and you got to burp them as they go out, you know. Brother, if you don't burp them, they'll get to college. Sure as your name's what it is. And they won't come back. Nowadays, the church's success is predicated on the preacher's personality. If he's got the good up and go itis, if he's got personal, almost animal magnetism, what they call charisma.
You may not agree with me, brother. I'm preaching something that's
very dear to my heart. I preached in churches that are built on charisma. I've been to churches that are built on preachers' personality. All they got is a collection of social cast-offs and misfits that are trying to rally around a man's personality and trying to find a refuge from what they ought to be for God. Let me tell you, let's build it on Jesus Christ. If the man of sorrows is not beautiful enough for you, go find your shaggy-haired hippie to follow after. If you care not to follow the lowly Nazarene, go follow some Buddha or Mohammed or some Zoroaster or some Confucius. If the Galilean that said he didn't have a place to lay his head, that was poor, that gave up the world's goods that we might be rich, if his salvation's not good enough for you, go join the Knights of Columbus. Go get into highfalutin churches. But as for me and my house, this is just fine with me. Hallelujah! I want to bring something more than just leaves. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God was to shake us down tonight, there wouldn't be a pear or an apple fall out. All would fall out would be maybe pocket knives and switchblades and combs and hairspray and shine shoes and $200 suits and new couches and new cars. And I'm not preaching necessarily against material possessions. Don't get me wrong. I'm rather saying let's put the proper spiritual perspective in this. Matthew 6:33 said, seek first the kingdom of God. Not second, first. Hallelujah, anyhow. Everybody said first?
First.
Only place God accepts second fiddles in the orchestra. That's the only place. Praise the Lord. We are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Now, what's God's husbandry? Isn't God's husbandry God's planting, God's vineyard, God's garden, God's orchard, God's farm? That's what the word husbandry means. You're the planting of the Lord. You're His field, His farm, His orchard, His vineyard. You think He's putting us here just to decorate the pews? You think God saved me just to stand up here and look pretty? I couldn't do it if I wanted to. Neither did you either, for that goes. But God saved us for something better than that. We're His husbandry. I don't care if He runs a plow over me. I don't care if He digs around me. I don't care if He prunes me. I don't care if He has to water me and fertilize me. I don't care. I still want to be saved. I've got a vehement and overwhelming desire in my heart. I want to be saved. You other trees of the field, you may flash your foliage, you may look pretty, but I don't want to just look pretty. I want some fruit. I want to be saved. The husbandman's coming. My friend, harvest day is upon us. It's time to shake down the church of the living God for the fruit that it bears. I want to be saved, saved, saved. I don't want to bring God nothing but leaves. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now I go around the country, and people in one church will lay great emphasis on one certain segment of holiness. You can't sit on their platform, sing in their choir, if you do a certain thing. Other places, it's another thing. Well, I have no arguments with them. Run your church the way you want to. But there's one thing I'll take you to task on, and we'll go to Theological Fifth City with, and we'll have it out eyeball to eyeball. And that's if you start messing with the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This was bought by His blood, filled with His Spirit. This is a Jesus name, one God, Holy Ghost, tongue talking church, and it's supposed to stay that way. Let's quit straying from the very center God put us in. Are we so tired of the old paths that we've got to hew us out new ones? I say, I'm not tired of hearing about Jesus. I'm not tired of hearing about His name, about His Spirit. Another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, you're not going to be able, neither am I, stand up here and say a big bunch of words of what you're going to do for God. We've all heard them. I'm going to make it to the end. I'm going to go out and knock on doors. I'm going to hand out tracts. I'm going to pray an hour a day the rest of my life. I'm going to fast twice a week. I'm going to pay my tithe. I'm going to pray with the seekers at the altar. I'm going to be at the prayer meetings. I'm going to do all I can for the cause of God. And 3 months later, they're gone. You know what they put on the old foundation? They put wood, hay, and stubble. Now, notice carefully. The Bible said, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, and the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now, it said the day shall declare it. That's the day in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, where it said, for we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The church after its rapture is still going to go to the judgment seat of Christ for a judgment of works. Now, if I spent 40 years preaching, putting wood, hay, and stubble on the altar, that day and its fire is going to reveal the quality, not necessarily only the quantity, but the qualitative value of the services I have rendered so-called to God. I'm going to bring it close. A lot of so-called social services that are rendered in the name of Christianity are nothing more than wood, hay, and stubble. God has no reward for ice cream socials. God has no reward for Sunday school picnics. Oh, hallelujah. My friend, you'd better be careful what you're passing off as Christian service. Put on that altar gold, silver, precious stones. Because you can put gold, silver, and precious stones in the fire, and it'll purge the dross. Come on now. It'll make them more valuable. It'll make them more brilliant. It'll make them better. Hallelujah. If you'll put on the altar what God wants you to put on the altar, it'll stand the day of fire. I've heard hooly hoops preached against. I heard a fellow say, bless God, Noah didn't have any hooly hoops in the ark. And I suppose he purged his church from hooly hoops. Do you wonder when he gets over yonder, God's going to ring a bell and run up 10,000 angels and say, you go over and shake that preacher's hand. He held a hooly hoop standard for 10 years. There was no hooly hoops in his church. Give him a crown for that. Do you think that? I think it's wood. I think it's hay. And I think it's stubble. And I think it's going to be burned up. Public opinion is a powerful thing, and oftentimes we submit to it and go with the crowd because it is the thing, the in thing, to preach against certain situations and certain things. With just generalizing, you don't want me to get specific. That's your preacher's place, namely. But I can say enough to tell you this. If you're going to preach against something, give me chapter and verse. If you're going to set a standard, give me chapter and verse. If you want me to sacrifice, give me chapter and verse. Come on now. I'm sick and tired of hearing this out of the book of conscience and out of the book of I believe and out of the book of what I think. Wow. I believe this. There's a lot of wood, hay, and stubble floating around today. My God, I want to put gold, silver, and precious stones. I can see me becoming a human bonfire for hooly hoops. That's right. I can see me be willing to be nailed to a cross or go before a firing squad, get my head cut off. But bless God, I don't believe in them patent leather shoes. Hallelujah. Are you willing to get your head cut off because you don't believe in patent leather shoes? Now, I'm not preaching at patent leather shoes, folks. Come on. I got some myself. One pair. I preached for them the last revival. One good thing about preachers, I get to preach for all my clothes. Hallelujah. That's right. But hear me. Let's be willing to let it stand the test of fire. Well, be careful what you put on there because the flames just might burn it up. And you're going to have nothing but leaves on that day. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This is not a judgment of salvation. If you make the rapture, you are saved. This is a judgment of works. And if you get over yonder and find 30 years of so-called Christian service burned up because you stood for things that were not really necessary or essential or even in the Word of God, but just a matter of personal conviction, you just possibly might see all of those years go up in smoke. I tell you, and this is very serious with me, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, if I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I'm willing to become a human bonfire for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I say it's time the church had preached to it Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We've heard sermons on every other kind of subject and idea and personal opinion, from is there any life on Mars to some other irrelevant issue of the day, because it tingled and tickled the ears of people's fancy. I say, preacher, preach me Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Talk about Jesus. Talk about the blood. Tell me about the empty tomb in Joseph of Arimathea's garden. Talk to me about the tongues of fire. Tell me about baptism in Jesus' name. Tell me that there's one God. Preach to me about the rapture. Talk to me about the fires of hell. Preach to me about the first resurrection. Talk to me. Talk to me. What the Bible says. Bible speaks of the crowns, and I won't go into it, other than just to briefly name them. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, a crown of righteousness. Revelation 2, verse 10, a crown of life, that those that love not their lives unto death. And we read also 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and 25, an incorruptible crown. 1 Peter 5, 4, it's a shepherd's crown when it's called, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. And we read in Philippians 4 verse 1 a soul winner's crown, where Paul said, ye are my crown. So there's several crowns talked about in the Bible to be given at the day of Christ, that is at the judgment seat of Christ. There ain't no crowns given for hula hoops, that's all I can say. Our lollipops or bubble gum. There ain't any crowns given for that. Oh, let's put our minds where they ought to be tonight, folks. Do you want an apostolic revival, or we just want to clown around? Are we going to kid ourselves tonight, or are we going to shake ourselves down and say, I'm tired of having beautiful foliage. I want some fruit. I want some fruit. I want some fruit. I want some fruit. How many want to bring forth fruit to God? How many really want to please the Lord? Don't be afraid to not, well, you might not please your husband or your wife sometimes when you're pleasing the Lord. And they even may have the Holy Ghost. We ain't got all the selfishness out of us yet. Oh, I tell you, I'm going to have to go on. This is going to get real sticky. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Everybody say holy. Holy. Which temple ye are. 2 Corinthians 6:14 said, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, shall be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God is not in agreement with a sinner marrying a saint. I think if you're going to marry someone in the church with both feet, that is, baptized in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost. God is not pleased with you doing otherwise. And most generally, that's what we use this scripture for. But I'm going to go a few steps further. Some of us with our unholy alliances and allegiances with the things of this world are coming mighty close to violating the spirit of this scripture. Anything that would prostitute or pollute your conscience in God, or divert your attention from the Lord, or cause you to waver from unselfish devotion to the cross, anything that demands more attention than God's work you are being associated or in allegiance with, is a violation of 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. It's not only just marriage, it's any kind of an association with anything in the world. You can take it for what you please, but that's the truth. We can't drink the cup of the Lord's and the cup of the devil's too. You're going to have to be one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, or something else. You can't be both.
Let's pray. Praise
Let no man deceive himself.
Oh, yeah, we run around deceiving ourselves.
Oh, I can pull it off. I can run around with the worldly crowd and still be spiritual. I can do this. You can't. I'm strong. Let no man deceive himself. Samson, keep going to Delilah's lap. She'll snip your locks after a while. Yeah, and you'll wake up with your eyes punched out and grinding away at the mill. You'll rise one day and say you wish not the Spirit of the Lord had departed from it. Go on. Flirt with unholy things. Walk with the world. Live like they want to. Dress and act. And try to act like you can still be in the church. Go on. One day you're going to wake up and it's all going to be over but the crying. I'm telling you, folks, God wants more than just leaves. He wants more than just leaves. He wants fruit. Everybody say fruit. Listen very carefully to this. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, then ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, drunkenness, murders, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Oh, God. God. God, help me. I want to have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. There's a clamoring, clanking in our midst for the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in them. I believe in an apostolic ministry. But I also believe in the fruits of the Spirit. God, give us more than just shimmering leaves. Give us more than fancy trees. Give us more than ornamentals to grace our yards. Give us more than leafy branches. Give us more than decoration. Give us some fruit, Lord. Help us to have some fruit. Fruit. Everybody said, amen. Yeah. How many see a need of bearing fruit? Raise your hand and wave it.
All right.
Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own foolishness. He taketh the wise in their own wisdom. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Did you know there is even a complex in our ranks toward the awesome ivy-covered towers of higher education? And we tremble like the men of Israel before Goliath at the awesome firepower of the brains of this world. And we tiptoe around with our slippers in our hands, afraiding to awaken the giants of intellect. Let me tell you something. There's no more profound wisdom than the man that fears God and obeys the precepts of the Word of God, that knows the name of Yahweh, Jehovah, El Shaddai, Elohim. Oh, hallelujah. That knows who his Maker is and has been baptized in his name. Church, it's time to be militant. Arise. Let's challenge this world. We have something to offer them that intellect, education, and higher learning cannot possibly offer them. We have seen that social services and intellectualism and education have not solved the social diseases that are ravaging the body of America. It is not stymieing the slums and the crimes and the divorce rates and the sin that's rampant in our streets. But I know something that can bring to a screeching halt the downward moral slide of America. I know something that can turn her around. I know something that can re-baptize her with energy once more. It's an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Holy Ghost revival. But a weak, anemic church with no fruit in it cannot bring it about. We are nothing more ourselves than a festering sore that needs to have the balm of Gilead rubbed on it. We are in so need of a touch ourselves, we can't reach the lost. God, help us tonight. Revival begins in me, Lord. Me, Lord, not the preacher, not the deacon. It's me, Lord. I need you tonight. Do you feel that way? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Paul had said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, 19, 20, 21, God made foolish the wisdom of this world. I thank God I know the truth tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God! I'm charging you to take an inspection to see that you have more than just leaves. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you raise your hands and praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Oh, God. Now then, I stood you up for this one grand finale. Paul charged the church at Corinth, and I charged the Greenwood, Indiana church with this. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Now remember that. For all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Let's look to Calvary tonight. Let's look beyond man to Calvary tonight. We're not built on a man. We're built on Jesus. Everybody said Jesus. Everybody said Jesus. Everybody said Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. Raise your hands and say Jesus. Say Jesus. Just keep saying Jesus. Just keep saying it.